It is indeed such a blessing to be here tonight. I've been richly, richly blessed by the truths that Brother Kenneth has brought to us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that it was by the grace of God that he was what he was. God's grace is so radical that really, if it's understood, it's offensive. Because we think it's giving good to those that really don't deserve good. And yet, that's the very definition of grace. But when we are offended by grace, it only proves that we have not yet understood the depths of our own need for God to be good to those who don't deserve any good. And so often, grace is appreciated by those who are outside the church of God, but it is actually despised when you really get down to it by those that are within the realm of Christianity. And say, that can't be true. I love grace. I really appreciate grace. But if we were to say tonight, do you or do I think that we deserve the same grace as those who have committed what we would call heinous sin to be in the prison, or who have committed immorality until they have disease that'll rack their bodies till death? Then we begin to feel like, in fact, we've all said, right? The world is going, like Brother Kenneth said, to pot or to the dogs. But actually, the scriptures are so plain that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. The scriptures are so plain that there is none good. No, not one. In Psalm 51, we have the account of David. It was the time that the kings go out to war. David stayed home, and you remember that he looked out and saw a woman bathing. He committed adultery, and David then, to cover up his adultery, attempted to have her husband come home from battle so that it would appear that she was with child by her husband rather than David. The man was of such integrity that he would not go home, but simply stayed in the street. David even had him made drunk to see if he would go home, but he still would not go home. So then David told his general to actually put the husband at the front of the battle so that he would be killed as they withdrew and left him at the front. So David's guilty of adultery, and David's guilty of murder. And David then speaks here in Psalm 51, and he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Grace is the spontaneous. In other words, it's not instigated by the sinner. Grace is the spontaneous selective. Grace makes a selection of those upon whom it will bestow grace. And grace is unconditional. Grace is a love, as has been already so richly told us, that bestows mercy upon those who deserve it not. Friends, answer me tonight. What is David to do? David was approached by the prophet. You remember the account where he spoke about the rich man and the poor man, and that the rich man went and got the only ewe of the poor lamb so that he would serve his company the poor man's lamb rather than take one out of his own numerous flocks. And when David was so offended by that and said that he should pay so dearly, then the prophet points a long bony finger into David's face and says, "Thou art the man." And friends, every one of us tonight are the ones that are guilty. What is David to do? David is ashamed, no doubt, to face his children, right? How is David to face his parents? How is David going to once again sit on the royal throne and feel like he has a right to rule in justice when he is guilty of such sin? Well, friends, what are we to do? The account here before us brings into living color the only out for anyone that's a sinner. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. And the word loving kindness is the Old Testament word that is usually translated loving kindness, but is the Old Testament word for grace. And David is simply saying, I have nothing to bring before you, God. I cannot plead my innocence. I cannot make excuse. I have tried to cover it up, and I have nowhere to go. Friends, what is to be done when we see our sin? We must as well recognize that a God of all grace loves his people, not because of what they have done or not done, but simply because he loves them. Friends, every one of us are guilty tonight. The scriptures are so plain. I was jotting down some of these thoughts. It just simply says that every man in his best state. Who's the most righteous here tonight? Anybody want to stand? I'm already standing. I'll sit. Right? Every man in his best state. Every man, boy, woman, and girl. Everybody in their best state is altogether vain. Where did we get the thought that in the eyes of this holy God, we have something to bring? Who art thou, O man? Friends, we live in such a bombastic, prideful day, and it's in every one of us, that we think somehow we measure up to God. You don't, and I don't. Every one of us. David said in Psalm 39 and 5, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. Mine age is as nothing before thee. Every man in his best state, he's altogether vanity. Nothing to God. Friends, to the billionaire, to the one who owns it all, and you give him a penny, is it going to mean anything to him? Let the paupers stand at the edge of the Grand Canyon, and one says, I can jump 6 feet, and another says, but I can eke out 8. So what? It's a mile across, and you're ending up dead at the bottom. Nobody here measures up. Nobody anywhere measures up. I don't know why I keep popping. Need to stand back, I guess. There is none righteous, no, not one. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Again, if it's talking about the bee business, so in the bee business you wear these white suits, so you've got two layers of clothes so you don't get stung. The outside of the suits look like you've rolled in mud with the hogs. By the end of the day, just because honey's sticky, you're handling these boxes, you look wretched. So I decided to wash my own clothes. Thought it would be easier to throw everything in white underclothes with these white coveralls. The t-shirt came out nearly gray. So what? All of our righteousnesses. We wash ourselves up, and I'm telling you, we're no cleaner than the ugly t-shirt to God. I've decided to take the t-shirt. Next time I wash the truck, I'll wipe the truck down with it. That's all it's good for now. Friends, that's all our lives are worth. We have no righteousness to plead. Now, here's how far this depravity takes us. It takes us to the place that we don't even know how sinful we are. It takes grace to know you need grace. So if you're thinking tonight, I don't need grace, that's the biggest evidence you do need grace. Because we don't even know we're sinners without grace. Grace is God's spontaneous, unconditional love bestowed upon hell-deserving recipients. And friends, tonight, rather than trying to cover our sin, rather than trying to act righteous, it would do us well to be like David. And in verse 3, he says, I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before thee. And against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. What's David saying? He said, Lord, you're right. I'll quit trying to cover it up. When you said there's none righteous, I'm in agreement with you now. I'm not righteous. Friends, we so often take the law of God and we change it up so that we feel like we're okay. Have you ever thought about the thought of stealing? Do you know when you monopolize a conversation, you're stealing someone else's time to express their needs? We are. When we gossip, we're stealing someone else's reputation. When we antagonize someone, we're stealing their calmness or their tranquility. When we exclude someone from our friendship, you know, there's a lot of cliques around, even among our people. Then he says, we steal someone else's need for our fellowship. When we don't forgive, we steal their hope of renewal and restoration. When we work too much, we steal from our family or the church their need of our love and presence. When we take credit for something that's not what we have accomplished, we steal glory from God. And friends, that's just one commandment, thou shalt not steal. But it's so much broader. No wonder David said, thy commandment is exceeding broad. If you break one commandment, the scriptures say, we're guilty of all the commandments. Just one commandment. We are in trouble, friends. But we need to acknowledge it to God. The Lord blesses us to see it. And then David confesses it. And he even goes so far as to say, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. He goes all the way back and said, I started out this way. And I've not been getting any better as I've gone along. In fact, it would be like Paul. I'm seeing that I'm worse and worse and worse. But then David comes to verse 7. And he says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. What's David praying for?
In essence, he's saying, Lord, let me look yonder to Calvary. Let me look yonder to one who came for me and gave himself on the cross, though I deserve it not. Help me look yonder to Calvary, where Christ hung there as an adulterer, where he hung there as the fornicator, where he hung there because our sins were placed upon him as the one that's lied, as the one that's stealed, as the one that has coveted, where he hung there with all the shame and the presence of God, and God poured out his wrath upon him, but he arose from the dead the third day. And friends, there's our hope. When you see I'm righteous in him. How are we going to walk out of here as the sweet prayer was made? We're going to walk out by God's grace saying, I'm covered with the blood. He's looking at me through Christ. I measure up in Christ. I'll never measure up in myself, but he has loved me. He gave himself for me, and he wants me to walk in that blessing. And so David did indeed walk in the blessing of grace. He walked in the joy of forgiveness. He had his joy restored so that life was okay again. Can life ever be okay again? Can a person start out when their past is just a total wreck? Listen, every day my life's a wreck. Every hour my life's a wreck. I say, I'm never going to do that again. I'll never speak to my wife that way again. I'll never think that way about a church member again. I'm never going to get mad at somebody that cuts me off in traffic again. I'm going to be a good boy. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be calm. I'm going to be okay. And I hate the world because it doesn't bow at my feet. I hate the world because people don't drive like I want them to drive. And I have to claim again, Lord, be merciful. That's what David said. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Purge me again. Help me to see it again that you love me in spite of who I am. And then help me just to live, to thank you for it instead of trying to earn it. I thank you for the time.